Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. Welcome back. We're going to get started with Testify by Diane Reeves, and today we're going to talk about vision, having a vision. Did you know vision is God's preview to the coming attraction of our life? So we're going to talk about how that goes with our imagination. Yes, vision, imagination, purpose. That's what we're going to talk about today. Stay tuned. Invite somebody. Let somebody know that we're going to be healing together, talking about today, vision, purpose, imagination. What is an imagination? It's God's preview of the coming attraction of our life. Yes, let's get started with Testify.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you planned them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time You gotta be still, stand in love and pay attention. I just wanna testify. I just gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, I gotta testify. When I look back on my life, I go crazy when I think of the danger I put myself in. But amazing grace always carried me to safety, knowing that I'd go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. Spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just wanna testify. I gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, amazing grace saved my life. Sweet the journey when you learn to love yourself, accept yourself, forgive yourself, believe in yourself, be yourself, yeah. With amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't yesterday, 'cause yesterday made me who I am today. Yeah, I just wanna testify. My mind is strong. I just gotta testify. I can see. I just wanna testify. Amazing grace saved my life. I gotta testify.
Things for me, if you could gather this piece of information. Albert Einstein said it once. He said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Now, I want you to get this now. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Because if you think about it, everything you have, everything we have in this world, somebody imagined it. It's your imagination is tremendous. Somebody was sitting on the phone one day talking with a cord to the wall and said, man, I wish I could just go outside with this phone. Everybody in here got a cell phone. Somebody imagined that. Somebody got tired of riding in a wagon cross country from slavery to freedom. Somebody said, I wish we had something that made these wheels move by themselves. We drive cars. People got tired of driving from New York to L.A. Somebody said, I wish we could fly. We got airplanes. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Your real life, the one God really got for you, is in your imagination. It is not in your current situation or your current paycheck. And if you've been living like that, you have then restricted yourself to a commonality that is really not yours. Because what really God got for you is really in your imagination. There is a scripture that Albert Einstein took this quote from. It's like the book The Secret. The Secret is one of the top-selling motivational books ever. But if you read the book The Secret, it's all biblical. Everything comes from the Bible. You really don't need self-help books. You don't need the magic of thinking big, the power of positive thinking, how to win friends and influence people, think and grow rich, the winner's circle. I've read them all. All of that information is in Proverbs, all of it. But let me give you this scripture. You've all heard this, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when I told you a minute ago, you got to have a tremendous work ethic, but you got to have a lot of faith. I talked to so many people who get older, like some of us are, and they've lost the faith. Well, faith is really simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All that means is in the beginning, you just hope something pop off. You know, you just kind of hope something happen for you. I was hoping I would get on TV. I wrote it on a piece of paper when I was 10. I want to be on TV. The problem I had when I wrote it at 10 was I suffered from a severe stuttering problem. I could not talk outside of my house. So can you imagine when I wrote on a piece of paper, I want to be on TV and turned that in? But when I wrote it on the paper, it wasn't factual. I was just hoping. You just got to start with the hope. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. You just hope something jump. Then what happened is through grace and favor, he give you a couple of them things you hope for, and then you're supposed to start believing then. Because now it turns into faith. But if you take this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? I just told it to you. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attraction. But guess what? Your imagination really is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Because your imagination, you know why it's the evidence of things not seen? Because you're the only one can see it. Your imagination is actually God showing you a preview of a coming attraction that he has for you. The moment you don't believe in your imagination, you negate what he got for you. Your imagination is the preview to life's coming attraction. It is the evidence of things not seen, because can't nobody see it with you. Your problem is you keep telling your imagination to the wrong people. See, if you want to kill a big dream, tell it to a small-minded person. It's dead. How many times, man, have you had a tremendous idea, something you thought was the one, and you went and told it to your loved ones and your so-called friends? And they shot it down. I mean, you was convinced that it was just, oh man, I just came to you. And you told it to them and they shot it down. And you thought since they was your loved ones and their friends and they got your best interest at heart, you believed them. You was wrong. You let them talk you out of what God got for you. Some of y'all still sitting here with the ambition of opening a business one day, but you scared to go start the business because you got a job and you got bills. Rich people got bills. Everybody got bills. Hell, I got bills. Everybody owes somebody something. I got something with the bank right now. You're going to let the fact that you got some bills stop you from opening the business, the thing that God done put in your imagination? So you're going to squash that because you got bills. Everybody got bills. Your real life is in your imagination. What I'm sharing with you is stuff that everybody can apply today. If you are sitting in here thinking that you're too old to listen to what Steve, hell, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. I know. I know. You can't believe it. I know. He's so fly. I know. But I'm 60. But I still rely on my imagination. See, if you think you're too old to make it, let me give you a prime example. Colonel Sanders. Colonel Sanders has been frying chicken his whole life. He was telling everybody he had the best chicken in the world. Ain't nobody believe him. They turned him down everywhere. Colonel Sanders didn't get a franchise till he was in his 60s. Kentucky Fried Chicken sell more chicken than anybody in the world today. So if you're sitting there thinking because you got a little gray on you, you're too late. As long as God waking you up in the morning, that's the sign that he ain't through with you. So what you tripping for? You sitting up in here like God can't do nothing for you because you 60. Man, you know what I'm asking God for right now? And I'm 60. If you could see my vision board, you would be blown away. Because I got enough right now. I really know. But I ain't in the need business. I'm in the want business. Ain't nothing wrong with wanting something. Quit going down to these churches y'all sitting up in here going down to, keeping you in these little boxes. God got a big life for you. The only person ain't get that, look, and I love church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking church. Don't tweet that. Don't. Steve don't care for the church no more. I didn't say that. But don't go down there, memorize all these scriptures, and then don't apply none of them to your life. That's what I'm talking about. Quit going down there just to go and just get a couple of scriptures and apply them to you. Let me give you one that's real simple. See, these principles of success, they've taken all of these scriptures and they're putting them in books and they call them, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. But all these, everything in there is a scripture. They just reworded it because people don't know how to read the Bible. Like, I can't really read the King James Version. I can't. 4 verses of that, I go to sleep. Because hence, furthermore, whatsoever, whosoever, who is you talking about? I need a name, dog. Not whomsoever, because I'm throwed off. I didn't do good with reading and comprehension in school. The smallest scripture I ever read changed my life. The scripture is real simple. You have not because you ask not. Do you know the difference that could make in your life? I'm just giving you real talk now. I'm just trying to tell you how I got here. See, I have no education. I applaud all of you with your education. I've seen them talking to so many men who have corporate American, all I'm in awe of that because I don't have that. But you sit here and you take what you have, and it could be so much more if you would ask. See, you have not because you ask not. When the last time you really asked him for something? Or do you keep making requests that's inside the confines of your paycheck? When you going to get outside of that? Didn't I just tell you God ain't in your paycheck? Didn't I just tell you he ain't in your job title? The life God got for you is in your imagination. Why you still imagining stuff? Why you keep dreaming of a summer home? Why you keep dreaming of retirement, leaving your grandkids money? Something at the age now where I think about my grandkids. I got 7 TV shows. Dog, I only need one. One show pay me enough money. I need 4 for my wife. 4 of them is for Marjorie. The other 3 is for the grandkids. I just need one. I do not live my life in the confines of what anybody says to me. I let my imagination go, and now imagination is a preview to life's coming attraction. But what that really means is God showing you a preview of what he has for you. So now, if you have not because you ask not, do you understand if you up your ask, he has to up his gear.
He has to up his gear.
Just period. Yes. This is simple stuff that anybody can apply. You ain't even got to have no degree to do this. You don't even have to have no money to do this. You can start this today and change your whole game, because you're going to need grace and favor anyway. You need the dream, the faith, and then he put his grace and favor on top of it. You gone. But you got to ask for something. If you up your ask, he got to up his give. Period. You have not because you ask not. Quit asking God for little bitty stuff. Lord Jesus, help me make my rent. Don't he always? All y'all got somewhere to stay. How about this? Why you keep asking for rent? Why don't you ask for a mortgage? If he going to give you the money for a place to stay, what difference do it make to God? But if you keep saying rent, ain't he fair? He keep giving you rent. If you ask for a mortgage, he'll give you a mortgage. But you have not because you ask not. Lord Jesus, help me fix my car so I can make it to work. Why do you keep praying over that raggedy car? Why don't you ask God for a car that don't need fixing? You know, they roll them off the assembly line every day. How you can't get a new car? How you serve God? How you go to church and you can't get a car? Just a new car. How you can't get that from God? You know why? Because you ain't asking. You keep asking him for stuff that fit in your paycheck. Your paycheck say a 2015 Lexus, so you go down there and ask him for that. And guess what you get? A 2015 Lexus. You up your ask, he up his give. You have not because you ask not. This ain't a magic trick, man. Listen, I have asked God for some tremendous stuff. Everything he hasn't given to me is on the way. I have no doubt about it. Why would he not? See, look, can I tell you what really prompted this thinking in me? When I was homeless, I lived in a car for 3 years. I made some decisions in my life, man, and threw myself off a cliff. My decision in October 8th, 1985, I walked into a comedy club for the first time on a dare from a girl. I walked into a comedy club for the first time. Had never heard of a comedy club. But all my life, I wanted to be on TV. Had never heard of a comedy club. October the 8th, I walked into Hilarity's Comedy Club in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. That's right outside Akron. I signed up for the following week because I just wanted to see what the comedians did. Man, I saw live stand-up for the first time. They had 10 acts supposed to go up. 9 of them went up. The 10th guy got scared and ran out the door. So I had signed up for the following week. The guy says, listen, we lost our 10th act. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the week from next week. If Steve Harvey's here, come on up now. And the crowd started clapping. I was eating a chicken wing and drinking some grapefruit juice, and I turned to the girl, and I said, it's a dude in here got the same name I got. She said, you're the stupidest bastard I know. So I ran up on stage. I don't even know what to do, but I just started talking about boxing and stuff that happened to me. Audience was hollering, laughing. They brought all 10 of us back up on stage. They had a clap-off. I won the clap-off. I won $50. I cried from Cuyahoga Falls to Cleveland. The girl kept saying, why are you crying? It ain't but $50. I said, no, you don't understand. This way more than 50. This what I do. She said, what you mean this is what you do? This is just your first time. You don't understand. Something happened to me. I won amateur night. I went to work the next day, October 9th, 1985, and quit my job. Now, you've all seen this book I got out in this video called Jump. Oh, I jumped. Now, I don't recommend that you do it that way. because 2 years later I was homeless. Because the first year of comedy I made $3,400, the next year I made $4,800, and the third year I made $5,300. I got a wife, a set of twins. I'm sending every dollar I got to them. So I tried to live on $50-$75 a week. Gas was 38 cents a gallon back then. I just stayed in my car. So I lived in my car for 3 years. 3 years I lived in my car. And what happened was, I just said, man, so I used to fish all the time to eat, because I'm a fisherman. I'm a bass fisherman. So I used to stop at lakes and ponds and just fish. And every night, every month, I get run off from somebody's land. Hey, get away from here. Hey, move along. That's not yours. Hey, stop fishing here. I just get run off. And he didn't understand. And one time I had fish on the line. They said, you got fish on that line? I said, yeah. Throw them back. I had to throw them back because I used to stop at rest areas with them little cast iron grills. I kept charcoal in my car. I started a fire and I eat fish. There's some days I wouldn't eat. So that they thought I was just fishing, but I was eating. So I said one day, I said, man, you know what? One day, man, I'm gonna get myself some land. I'm by myself a piece of dirt. So fast forward, God bless me. I get on TV when I'm 38. I'm on Showtime at the Apollo. Lord, have mercy. They gave me my money. I saved my money up. I saved $250,000. I said, I'm going to give me some land. I went to Texas. And I'm about to buy some land. But before I went to buy the land, I was curious. I just had the thought. I said, man, I wonder how much land is on earth? How many acres is on earth? Because, you know, it's not going to change. You know, God lets you fly. God lets you dive on the water. God don't let you make dirt. Can't make dirt. So I looked it up. It's roughly over, just a little bit over, 36 billion acres of land. 36 billion acres of land. So I just got a little bit more curious, and I said, well, how many people on earth? I looked it up, and there's about 6 billion people on earth. So I did some Steve Harvey thinking. I said, okay, if it's 36 billion acres of land, and it's about 6 billion people on earth, everybody ought to have 6 acres of land. Not just me, you know, I just thinking. So I asked God, could I have 6 acres? That's all I wanted. Because you know the one thing I wanted? I didn't care if I put a house on it or nothing. I just wanted to be a stand somewhere and couldn't nobody run me off. I just wanted. I was in a world of hurt. I was so sick of just getting run off, man, every time I stopped somewhere. So I got this money, man. I saved my money. I saved $250,000. I'm going and I'm looking for some land. The first day I get there, I see a piece of land in Texas, so beautiful, I couldn't believe it. It had rolling hills, had a pond on it where I could fish. The dude took me over there. I look at the land. And I'm looking out, I said, man, this is great right here. I said, sir, how much is this right here? He said, well, it's about $600,000. I said, man, I ain't got that kind of money. He said, well, how much do you have? I said, I got $250,000. I said, well, let me think about it, man. He said, let me think about it. And I was standing there, and then I stopped. I said, sir, can I ask you a question, man? How many acres of land is that? He said, this is 6 acres. Six. 6 years ago, I just asked God, just give me 6. See, I didn't want a whole lot of acres. I just wanted my cut. Just give me my 6. And so I said, ain't this crazy? So I thought about it, I said, man, what can we work out? Right before I got ready to say it, the guy that took me over there said, Steve, let me show you something right quick. He took me over to this hillbilly's house. Took me over to this hillbilly house named Jerry Campbell. Now, I don't really care for hillbillies because, you know, we don't. I just, you know, when your voice, you know, I believe and I don't laugh. When I hear that, me and you probably ain't going to work out. I'm from Cleveland. I do things. I don't want no trouble. I met this hillbilly. I was a little nervous about meeting him, man, because I didn't like the way he talked. But mess around turned out to be one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Became a father figure to me. It's an old white man. He took me to his house. He said, let me show you something. And took me over and showed me this land, and it was massive. It had three lakes on it. It had rolling hills. It had trees. It was unbelievable, man. I said, man, this is incredible. I said, man, how much is this? He said, this 16 acres. I said, hey, man, I ain't got that kind of money. Let me go on back over here to this dude where Mike can cut a deal. He said, well, let me ask you something. What was you going to give that man over there? I said, well, I hadn't worked it out yet because all I got is $250,000. He said, well, listen, I'm in a little bit of a tight right now. Said, if you can bring me $250,000 cash by tomorrow, I give you this 16 acres. I showed up next day, $250,000. 16 acres. See, that's grace and favor right there. That's what that is. So my first piece of land was 250 acres. So I said, man, this is the land that I'm going to save for my family. I'm going to fish on the rest of my life. I'm going to be an old man. Now, let me tell you something. I'm so busy now, I don't even get to go to that ranch. I never can go. And I thought I was going to be fishing and save it for my kids the rest of life. But God had another plan for me. That's the ranch that I had my mentoring camp on. I bring 1,000 black boys out there with 1,000 single mothers. And that was the purpose of that ranch. I never go there to fish at all. But see, that's what I wanted. I thought that's what it was for. But God got another plan. His way is way bigger than yours. You can't even see his way. But you got to start to hustle. You got to give God something to work with. Look, if you start hustling and grinding, he'll fill it up for you. But if you ain't got no hustle and no grind, he can't fill it up. So guess what? I don't ever go there to use that land for fishing or not. But I'm changing boys' lives over there. It's been important for me to empower my children, but not only my children, but thousands of young people across the country. And education is the key for a lot of people. But when I speak at colleges and stuff, I tell people, number one thing in your world is not your education. It's your dream. So what you dreaming about, y'all? What you still dreaming about? What is God still showing you in your imagination? What are you so afraid of? Why would you not take that leap and go for it before you mess around and die? Why would you not go and see what God really got for you before you leave this world? Why would you hang on to a job? Here's what happens with the job. If you live in paycheck to paycheck right now, when you retire, they're going to give you one-third of what you can't live on now. They're going to give you a gold watch and a turkey. And they're going to set you on out to pasture. If I was you, before I leave this world, I'd go see what God really got for me. Just take a chance. Now, here's why you should take the chance. Name me one time God has not pulled you through. Just name it. Name the one thing God has never pulled you through. If he ain't pulled you through it, he's currently pulling you through it right now. And the reason I know I'm telling the truth is because you're sitting in here. If God was through with you, he wouldn't wake you up no more. When he wakes you up, it's because he ain't through with you yet. He got something else for you. So why don't you go see what that is?
Wow. Oh, wow. You've been listening to The Love Journey, The Love Experience with Janine and Ian. That was Steve Harvey. And I apologize for the prayer and all the stuff that was on mute. I didn't really, you know, when the song came on, I had put the phone on mute because I was drinking some water. And I didn't take it off mute. So thank you for staying here and listening. And I just want to remind you today, take your dreams out the attic. Wipe the dust off your dreams, your desires. That's God tapping at your soul saying, I want to manifest more of myself through you. It's time to have a vision. We're having a vision board class, February 24th, 7453, South Vincennes at 2 o'clock. We're going to talk about the science behind vision boards, the science of vision boards. Why sometimes you put stuff on your vision board year after year, year after year, and you haven't received it. We're going to talk about why. It's time to bring your life to vision. Have you allowed yourself to suppress your vision? Have you allowed yourself to not dream? Imagination. Albert Einstein says, imagination is more powerful than reality. He said, our imagination is God's preview to the coming attraction of our life. I'm going to say that again. You see, when we get so into a space that we have allowed ourselves to no longer dream and no longer desire, we no longer see it in our mind's eye. We're negating God's promise. You see, because when we can see it in our mind's imagination, faith is the trusting in the process of all of this, and we can see it in our mind's eye. That's the coming attraction of what God said, I have for you, my child. Because I don't know if you heard in the beginning, if you were here, what did I say? Imagine yourself standing at the burning bush. And what did God say to Moses when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, I am that I am has sent you. Well, that still applies today. Who have sent you? No matter what is up against you, nothing can defeat you. Because what? I am that I am has sent you. I am that I am. So take your dreams. Put them back on the front row of your mind. It took a long time for me to understand. It took a long, long time. I was like Steve Harvey, and I admit, a lot of things I didn't understand in the Bible, but it took a long time. It took me spending time with God. Understanding what some of these things meant for a long time. But as I grew in my relationship with the Most High Divine Presence, with all that is and with all that will ever be, I understand a lot more than I used to. Because Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That didn't really ring a bell. The evidence of things not seen didn't really ring a bell. It was when I was studying. Albert Einstein has made the Bible so clear for me in so many ways. In his book, Albert Einstein is God, he said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Your faith is the gift of things that you're hoping for. That's the drive that makes things that you hope for come alive. The evidence of things not seen is your imagination. Being able to see what is not in the visible world, but knowing that it is true, is made that whole passage come alive. I mean, when Albert Einstein said, our imagination, the faith of things not seen, that's our imagination. He was saying to us, Albert Einstein said, God was saying to us that when we can see the things that are not seen in our imagination, that's God's preview of life's coming attraction. That's why visioning, write the vision, make it plain. That's why visioning is important. Now, there's a difference. I don't know if you heard this when you're in the beginning, but there's a difference when we're visioning and when we're visualizing. You see, when we vision, we allow God's vision to come forth. Visualizing is the act of you vision, bringing forth you having a vision, your vision. And so we're going to go through vision and purpose in these next 2 weeks because I really want us to really bring the vision of God's plan for our life into fruition. What does God want? What does the divine want to express through you today? What is the divine calling your name? What has the I am that I am presence? What has it manifested you in the flesh to do on this land in this right now moment? And that's what I want you to write in your journal. Those words, what has the divine created, whatever your name, yourself, to show up as what on this planet? What has it created you for? What are you here to do? What is the special sauce that God created and then did all this beautiful stuff and then sent you to the planet and called you in the flesh of God, understanding that you are pure mind in action. You are God's divine idea. You are God's greatest gift. You are the individualized expression of the infinite mind. And how can you activate the presence of what God has called you for? How can you activate the power of that process and become fully present to the will and the power that you've been created to manifest on this planet? And that's what this week and next week is going to be all about. Manifesting purpose. Do you know why you're here? Have you even asked the divine presence, why am I here? What is the divine trying to emerge through me in this right now moment? See, the answers are within you today. The most powerful thing Steve Harvey said to me was, we have not because we ask not. Why are you not asking for the presence that created the divineness of who you are, who knows all things? Why haven't we stopped and got still, the divine wanting to express through me today? That's our work. And nobody can answer that but you. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your preacher, not your nothing. Nobody can answer the question but you. You see, this is soul healing work. It's time for us to work from the soul level. You see, the soul knows exactly why you came to serve. And that soul essence of you is waiting for you to shine your light on the world. Will you shine your light today? Will you allow the presence of the divine energy to show up through you today? Will you get out your own way today? Allow the infinite mind of God to be so present that every cell in your body is in agreement with the presence of you came to express. It's time to shine, family. It's time to shine. Nobody can do it the way you do it. And the only person who can do that is you. You see, I want to remind you today, you are the gift that came to the planet. And when God created you, God knew exactly where God wanted you to be placed. He knew you in the womb of your mother's belly. And everything that has come to make you who you are, part of the journey, not to kill you, but to build you. Your story is important. Let's shine, family. I see you in the morning tomorrow. And we will continue our conversation. I want to remind you, February 24th, if you're in the Chicagoland area, Vision Board, 7453 South Vincennes, Chicago, Illinois, 2 o'clock. February 22nd, 222, Tamar will come. I will be her featured speaker at she's having a powerful, powerful retreat. And it's going to be amazing. August 9th through the 12th at a resort in Maryland. And we're going to talk about that. And our main topic that day is going to be pleasure. Because, you know, pleasure drives the gift. Pleasure is the medicine. Pleasure is the GPS system. When we're not in our happiness, I'm talking about that deep down fulfillment, are we really honoring the presence of God? When we walk around and we're truly not fulfilled, what are you saying to when you walk around and you're truly not happy in every area of your life? Are you saying, well, yeah, I love God, but I got to settle? Are you saying, my God, not big enough? What are you saying unconsciously? And so we're going to talk about that. 222, February 22nd. Put that on your calendar. And invite people that you know that needs to hear about driving, their taking their dreams out the attic, bringing their purpose into fruition, finding pleasure as their medicine, joy and happiness. Because for some reason we think when we serve God, we got to sacrifice and we got to be unhappy and we got to live this matriarch dream, and that's not true. You don't have to be a martyr. God didn't say that. But when you live in a fulfilled space, you want to naturally serve. You naturally want to give. Because you're giving from a full space in your fulfillment. Why do you think the Bible tells us to be a cheerful giver? It's not saying be phony and be happy. It's saying fulfillment. Fulfillment. And it's so much pleasure given when you're in a pleasurable mindset, when you're in a happy and joy. You love to give. When you filled up and you feel your cup is filled, you don't mind giving. And you give from a joyful space. Family, it's time to learn how to live fulfilled. And that's what we're going to talk about February 22nd, pleasure. We're going to be talking about purpose this week. We're going to be talking about vision this week. We're going to be talking about birthing the greater version of you. We're going to talk about that leading up to the vision board. Because when you come to the vision board class, I want you to be prepared to bring forth a vision of God's greatest gift of you. not just something that you decided that you wanted to do, but I want you to dig deep into the pleasure zone of yourself. What will bring you the most powerful joy of being on this planet? And I want you to use happiness, pleasure, joy as a GPS of what God's coming attraction is for your life. I want you to use what makes you happy. I want you to remember the dream you had when you were a little girl and then a little boy. And I want you to take that dream out the attic and dust it off. And I want you to manifest it. Yes. So as I remind you today that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God, remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember that you are the greatest gift. How you want to live your life? Are you ready for the big life that God has for you? Or you still want to keep playing small? This is Angie Wyman. The Lord's Prayer. Have a blessed, wonderful, amazing, joy-filled day. And remember, only person who can stop you from being you is you. Let's enjoy our life. Let's manifest the greatest version of ourselves together. Let's walk in the fullest expression of our God, Goddess energy, knowing that we are all that God has put on this planet to be. Knowing that we are the divine mind of God in expression. Family, you are the gift. Angie Wyman's on the love journey. Your love experience with Janine and Ingram.
How they should pray. I wasn't there, but I can't imagine that they may have sounded something like this. How should we pray? 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 Here's what the Lord told them. temptation. Please deliver us, for thine is the kingdom, the power. Now you say amen, and the glory forever. Amen. That's how you pray, that's how you pray, that's how you pray.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Goodbye.